Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a great show on anxiety tonight. Now, folks, you know you got some. Everybody does, and you know it comes and goes, but this is going to be a perfect show to listen to help you release that anxiety that is no longer needed. And we'll be speaking with Corinne Zupko, and her book is From Anxiety to Love, A Radical New Approach for Letting Go of Fear and Finding Inner Peace. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release the energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But the real question is, are you truly ready, really, really, really ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Okay, so a bit about me for my new listeners. Intuitive since birth, I'm a third generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. My clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, visit my website, MoniqueChapman.com. And I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living, from my website. And again, that's MoniqueChapman.com. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the United States, affecting 40 million adults age 18 and over, or 18.1% of the population every year. On the high end of the anxiety spectrum are panic attacks, debilitating fears, and free-floating anxiety. And on the low end of the spectrum are the normal fears and anxieties that occasionally visit all of us. And we're going to help you work through those today because Corinne Zupko, EDS and LPC, is the author of From Anxiety to Love. She is a licensed counselor and keynote speaker. She has helped thousands of individuals through her 101 counseling and weekly meditation classes for corporations and the largest virtual conference of the ACIM in the world through the organization called Miracle Share International, which she co-founded. Now, folks, she's a Jersey girl, and you can find her online at FromAnxietyToLove.com. And again, that's FromAnxietyToLove.com. Welcome, Corinne.
Thank you so much for having me, Monique. I'm so excited for our podcast today.
Oh, I'm glad to have you. And we're going to talk about your podcast in a little bit, but I absolutely love the book, From Anxiety to Love. And, folks, you can find it everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble's. There's other places, too, her website. So do get the book if you're suffering from any anxiety at all. And guess what? We all are on some level. So, Corinne, how did you get to the point of writing a book about anxiety?
That's a great question. I got to the point of writing a book because when I was getting better from the debilitating anxiety that I had lived with for most of my life, it was like I had no choice. It was just something that I had to do. I had to write down what was helping me. And I started writing in about 2010 and finished the book in 2016. So it actually took me about 6 years to write. And then from there, you know, got the book deal. But it really felt like a divine assignment where I found my way out of the anxiety in a way that was truly helpful and deep and long-lasting that I just had to share what I've learned with other people who are open to this type of approach.
Well, you know, there's so many people that suffer from anxiety today. Like, it's, what, 18.1% of the population. And, you know, sometimes they go to counseling, you know, the talk therapy, if you will. Sometimes even occupational therapy some people find effective. But the majority of the people that I've found that suffer from anxiety, they become paralyzed by it. Why is it so paralyzing?
If you think about it, you know, anxiety is an extreme voice of fear. It's an extreme end of the fear continuum where, you know, on the low end of the continuum are those everyday fears and anxieties that we all have. And they come and they go. But as you go up the continuum, anxiety and fear can get just more and more intense to the point where it can cause panic attacks. It can really make you feel like you can't do things because you're afraid of anxiety or panic happening, you know, if you're out of your house or if you're in certain situations. So it has this sort of constricting effect where it really makes your life narrower, and the experience of anxiety itself, in my experience, it gave me like tunnel vision where it really sort of constricted my awareness, where it's almost like the only thing I was aware of was the fear, was the anxiety. So it becomes debilitating. It becomes really hard to live with at the high end of the continuum. But that's where, again, there is so much help nowadays from working with people like you for therapy, for this approach that I talk about in my book. We all have to find, you know, a pathway that works for us, because I'm a true believer that healing is possible.
Okay. Well, you based some of the information on the book, A Course in Miracles. And I was sharing with you before we started the show that I have the book on a shelf. I've attempted to read it for years, many, many times, and it just doesn't sink in. However, when I picked up your book and your reference to A Course in Miracles, it was like the light came on. So talk to us a little bit about what the Course in Miracles is, what it offers us, and how you translated that information to your work.
Great question. Thank you. So, A Course in Miracles is a metaphysical, I like to call it psycho-spiritual text. It's profoundly psychological. It's very spiritual as well. It's psychological in that it helps us work with our thoughts and transform our thoughts. And it's spiritual because it's really helping us to awaken to the truth of who we are, which is eternal love, which is an experience that we can actually have right now in our day-to-day lives of being connected to something much greater than ourselves. So it is a book that you can buy anywhere. It's available on Amazon. It's available in bookstores. And there are three parts to it. So the first part of the book is a text, and that tends to be kind of hard to understand. So to give an example, I had somebody reach out to me who was interested in the course, and I had said, oh, you know, you might want to start with a different part of the book other than the text, because it can be challenging for folks to read. And she's like, oh, I was an English major in college, you know, I'll be fine. And then about a week later, she wrote back to me and she was like, forget the English major. I have no idea what this is talking about. So the text, although it has really, really critical information, if this is your pathway, it's actually great to start with one of the other two sections in the book, which the middle section is a workbook, and this provides a lesson for every day of the year. So there's 365 lessons. And these lessons, some of them are like meditations. They are a way of starting to learn a new thought system, the new thought system that the course is teaching. And then the manual for teachers is written in Q&A format, and it's much, much easier to read than the text. So I often recommend, because we're all teachers and learners in every situation that we're in, I always recommend to folks to begin, if you want to begin reading, begin with the manual for teachers, because it might go in a little bit more easily. But but in my experience, I would just kind of open the text part of the book at random and just start reading. And I'd get little bits and pieces. I definitely wouldn't understand all of it, but I'd get little bits and pieces here and there that really spoke to my heart and gave me hope that inner peace was truly possible. So I, in my study, I began studying A Course in Miracles back in 1997, and I've never put the book down. And so when I was starting to get better from anxiety, because I did have an adult age episode of anxiety in 2009, a really bad one,
mm-hmm.
when I really started going deep with the Course, that was when I realized that I had to write about the Course principles in easy-to-understand language in my book so it was accessible to other people who were looking for a different way of finding relief. So that's sort of how I translated it through my own experience, you know, through my own words. And, of course, ultimately it's not a substitute for studying A Course in Miracles directly, but it's a good place to start, especially when we're just overwhelmed with anxiety and don't feel like we can even focus, you know, on something that, like A Course in Miracles, can be hard to understand for some of us in the beginning.
Yeah, well, I chuckled because it's like, okay, so you're all stressed out and you're full of anxiety, and then you're trying to read something that you're not grasping at all, which creates
right.
more anxiety in your life.
Totally.
What's wrong with me? Now, you talk about free-floating anxiety. What is that?
So free-floating anxiety is anxiety that just isn't attached to anything specific. So, for example, there were many times when I found myself really worrying about maybe a physical symptom or something that might happen in the world or something that, you know, a loved one is going through. Those are anxieties that are attached to specific events. Free-floating anxiety is when there doesn't seem to be a cause. So, for instance, my most frequent experience of free-floating anxiety would be I'd go to bed at night feeling perfectly peaceful. I'd have a good night rest, but then I'd wake up in the morning and I'd be like a ball of anxiety. I'd be all tense and I'd feel this tightness in my chest, this constriction, and just felt really super anxious. And it wasn't that I was anxious about anything specific. I didn't really have anything maybe going on that day or that week. It was just anxiety for no reason. So that's what free-floating anxiety is. And I think that some folks, I think particularly the early morning anxiety is something that many people can relate to because I know that that can be a common experience.
Yeah, well, it's amazing that I'm talking to a lot of people lately, and when they wake up, yes, they have anxiety, but it's work-based. They're like, oh, my God, I am afraid to go to work, or I'm afraid something's going to happen at work. How can someone just, like, you know, exhale and just, like, you know, chill for a second and gather themselves to set up a productive day for themselves?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, there's so much happening in our world right now and over the past. I mean, things have really come to a head. Acts of terrorism, acts of extreme and horrible racism, domestic terrorism, you know, the international terrorism, active shooters, school. Like, it seems like nowhere is safe, right? Like, no matter where you go, if it's a church, if it's a school, a shopping mall, like, there have been incidents all over the place, and so it is, I feel, a very normal response to be afraid, you know, to go to work, because our world is kind of out of control in some ways, and it's important, though, to remember that I'm a believer that fear creates more fear, that when we pump our fears into events and anxieties, that like it can not necessarily create those things, but we're more attuned to those things. Those things become our reality. It might be that something horrible happened across the country, but now we're walking around like it just happened next door, you know, when it was something maybe a little bit more isolated. Now, of course, we have compassion and we act and we do what we need to do for change, but it's really important for us to come back to the present moment, to come back to our breath, to come back to our body, to come back to trusting that even though it seems like things are really intense, that we are moving in a, I do believe that we are moving in a positive direction with change, and we're a part of that change right now. So I truly believe that coming back to the present moment is something that we can all get better at in every given moment. Because our thoughts will just run away. You know, they'll run away and into the worst-case scenario, what if, what if, what if. And most of the time, in the present moment, We can find safety and refuge in this breath, in this here and now moments with bringing our thoughts back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes complete sense. And you know, you're basically saying that, you know, it's present time mindfulness while we're, you know, living our lives. However, let me ask you this question. In your book, you talk about the ego, and you say that the ego is a belief in your mind that you are a body with a personality instead of an eternal being. So how can the average person, say they're not really all that spiritual or even religious, okay, how can they get past allowing the ego to take charge?
So for somebody who is not spiritual or religious or, you know, just doesn't resonate with that at all, think about it as fear versus love or anger or hate versus kindness. We all have a choice in any given moment which direction we're going to go in. Are we going to go in the direction of anger and fear and hate, or are we going to choose to go in the direction of love and compassion and forgiveness? So for somebody who's not spiritual, you can think about these ideas in that context. But what you just said about, you know, what I said in the book about the ego being a belief in our mind that we are this, you know, body with a personality, where in fact we are an eternal being.
Mm-hmm.
If we get really deep into Course in Miracles metaphysics, and again, this isn't for everybody, but this is just something that helped me and resonated with me, mm-hmm. that from a Course perspective, the world is kind of here to convince us that we're not these eternal beings, because there's so much evidence in the world that we're not, you know, that, mm-hmm. that sickness is real and death is real and that this is all that there is. So mm-hmm. the journey on the Course pathway is to see that, you know, all these terrible things that can happen in the world, all the fear, all of that that's there, again, we can either use that to solidify this belief that we are separate and that we're, you know, kind of doomed, mm-hmm. or we can use it to instead help us wake up to realize that, wait a second, that's not true. We are all connected. We are loving in our core. We are mm-hmm. eternal, you know, we can go either way with it. So does that make sense? Is that helpful?
Yeah, yeah. No, it answered my question. So thank you very much. Well, folks, we're speaking with Corinne Zupko, and her book is From Anxiety to Love, A Radical New Approach for Letting Go of Fear and Finding Lasting Peace. You can check her out on her website, and that is FromAnxietyToLove.com. Again, FromAnxietyToLove.com. You've gone through, you know, where you've had panic attacks. I've had panic attacks. We talked about it a little bit before we started the show. How can one get past the point of having panic attacks? I had something happen to me about 7-8 years ago now, where actually at the stroke of midnight, someone who I allowed into my home literally attacked me, and I became fearful. And then that February, right behind that, my mom died, and she was 91. So, you know, I'd been with her for a long time. And for all of a sudden, anxiety just came. Panic attacks just came. I had no idea. I mean, I spent quite a bit of time just sitting looking out the window. Now, in a sense, that was healing, but I felt that I should be doing more. So what can we do or to lessen that panic attack when it comes? I remember that after I had the initial panic attacks and several during my, quote, healing time, I was actually going to East West Books across the bridge to listen to one of my radio guests who was giving a speech, and all of a sudden I'm driving down the freeway, you know, music blasting, having a good time, and all of a sudden I had a panic attack.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, here I am being happy, you know, going on my merry way, and this comes back. So how do we dig down to truly release that energy so it doesn't come and catch us at an inopportune moment?
I love that question. My heart goes out to you for what you went through and for the loss of your mom. And I, you know, it doesn't matter how old somebody is. A loss is a loss, and especially when it's our, you know, our parent. And so we have to first honor ourselves and our feelings and recognize, you know, the pain that's there and feeling those feelings. And it sounds like you gave yourself, you know, that space to process and to grieve and to just be there. So I think step number one is always looking at what's going on. You know, what am I feeling? What am I concerned about? What do I need to feel? Because chances are the panic attacks are being triggered by some other emotional experience that we might feel we don't have the capacity to deal with, you know. Mm-hmm. It might feel like those feelings are so intense we don't want to feel them, and it comes out instead as a panic attack. So the first step, I think, is always to identify what your feelings are about, you know, whatever is going on in your life, and see how you can start to address them, see how you can start to feel them. You know, whether it's journaling, getting into therapy, talking to somebody, I think that that's so important, is to feel. So with that being step number one, some other tools come to mind, and I'll bring it to A Course in Miracles in just a moment. But the additional tool, now what you said about, you know, a panic attack, you're driving, you're happy, and suddenly, boom, it's just there. Uh-huh. That's kind of just what they do, unfortunately. Even healthy people, I want folks listening to know this, that you can be completely healthy, not have any kind of, you know, anxiety disorder diagnosis, and still have a panic attack. Panic attacks are considered a normal part of the human experience. So it's important, after feeling our feelings, that we know that we are not going crazy mm-hmm. at all. You know, this is just a normal and very unpleasant, of course, but part of our human experience. The additional piece too is to see where your thoughts are going. So are you really worrying about something that happened in the future? Is it something from the past? Notice, you know, what's happening with your mm-hmm. thoughts, and see as best you can if you can come back to the now. So we mentioned already about, you know, mindfulness and being in the present. This might mean one of the actual techniques that I'll teach folks who are having a panic attack. And we can do this now. You know, nobody has to have a panic attack to benefit from this activity. But if you just place one hand on your chest and the other hand on your belly, and if you just sit here and just gently breathe, you know, mm-hmm. not doing a deep breath, but just breathing at your natural rhythm, notice which hand is moving more. Is your chest moving more as you breathe, or is it your belly? And in our culture, we tend to tighten our bellies and breathe from high up in our chest, which is a breath that's associated with more stress, with more anxiety, with more of a shallow breath. So right now, all of us listening, if you can just soften your abdominal muscles and just release your belly. So now suddenly, your breath is a little bit more open. It's a little bit more like if you picture a puppy or a baby breathing. Mm-hmm. They breathe with their whole belly, right? They're not tightening right. their stomach. So just that little physiological change in our belly can help to bring about more of a state of calm, and that can help us if we're in a panic attack. It can help us move through it, or if we're feeling a high degree of stress, it can help us to calm down. Even if we're just already kind of relaxed, it can even help us relax further. So that's another tool that I like to share for folks as well. Now, you said the word dig down. How can we dig down to really get to the source of, you know, where the anxiety is coming from?
Uh-huh.
That was a question that I wanted the answer to. When I was having these panic attacks for years, and, you know, this debilitating anxiety for years, I wanted to find what is going to help me dig down and get to the source of this. Like, what is the source of this? And this is where the only approach that I found for me that was helpful to dig down deep was this pathway of A Course in Miracles. So the idea that we are a separate self that's subject to all the laws of the world, be it aging and sickness and death and, you know, all the things that come with being in this world, mm-hmm. that's kind of scary. You know, yeah. if you're honest about it, yeah. nobody wants to get sick. Nobody wants to age. Nobody wants to die. Like, that all sucks. And so mm-hmm. if that's where our primary identity is, there's an anxiety that comes with that type of identity, with this identity in this small separate self, my identity as Corinne. However, when we start to have experiences of a greater self, a capital S self, a self that goes beyond time and space, that transcends this world, that is eternal. When we not just intellectually accept that, but when we have experiences of that in our hearts, two things happen. Our identity starts to identify more with that capital S self. And the other thing that happens is the anxiety starts to fall away. So if we knew, if we walked around and knew that eternal love was with us, that spirit was with us, if we knew this, there's a quote in A Course in Miracles that says, if you knew who walks beside you on the way that you have chosen, fear would be impossible. So if we really knew that, fear would be impossible. So that's what this pathway of the Course is this transfer of trust, this transfer of identity from this small, fearful self to our magnitude, to the eternal nature that we really are, that we can wake up to right now when we're still, you know, walking around, as I'm walking around as Corinne, you know, as we're walking around in these bodies. So it's a beautiful thing to be able to dig more deeply like that. And one other thing I'll share, and this, again, goes really kind of deep into the Course in Miracles metaphysics, is that the Course teaches that we actually believe that we have separated from our source. We actually believe that we've separated from spirit because we, again, have identified, you know, as these bodies.
Yeah, we've been taught that.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. So the Course is saying that we actually all carry around unconscious fear and guilt in our minds for believing that we actually separated. And so starting to dig and to exhume unconscious, fearful, and guilty thoughts, as we bring those out to the light for healing, as we say, Spirit, you know, help me see this differently. I want a shift. I want a miracle. Mm-hmm. It's like we peel away the layers of fear and guilt in our mind. And what's beneath the layers of fear and guilt is our awareness of love's presence. So it's love that all these fears hide. And as we learn how to shed those fears and experience the love that is, you know, beneath it, that's, again, where anxiety just has to fall away. So that's been my experience of digging deep. And I love your question of just digging down, because that's what I needed to do, and that's what my whole book is about, because they're all the steps that I worked with to get to the point where I'm at now.
Yeah, well, healthy and wonderful, so I absolutely love it. Now, in your book, you talk about in order to do this work, to work on yourself, first of all, you have to be honest with yourself. Why is it that people are so timid about being honest with themselves?
Yeah. Oh, goodness. We are so timid about being honest with ourselves because we have a lot of icky thoughts. Like, if we're totally honest, I call it radical honesty in the book. And it's radical honesty with ourselves, with our higher self. This honesty means that we start to acknowledge the socially unacceptable thoughts, the judgments that sometimes zip through our minds. Because let's face it, you know, sometimes if somebody could just read all the thoughts that we were having, they'd be like, yuck. And so we don't even want to admit those to ourselves. And yet we can heal them. There's another quote in the Course that I love that says, it's not that you're going to stop having judgmental thoughts, but it's that you have none that you would keep. And that's a paraphrase. So we can give ourselves the space to say, okay, you know, I'm going to accept the thoughts that are ugly, that are going through my mind right now, but my intention, my desire is to bring them to the light for healing. So it's opposite of hiding those thoughts or burying them, and the honesty piece is key in being willing to allow them to be transformed.
Okay, so when that thought comes up and it's, you know, a little anxiety provoking, can you just say that I no longer believe in you? You know, just something to negate that particular thought?
Yeah, you know, saying some kind of helpful mantra can be really helpful. The process that I talk about in the book and the process that I use is talking to you know, a part of myself, which is my higher mind, which is spirit. Again, call it whatever. Even for non-spiritual people, call it your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
We can say, I just noticed this icky thought, and I don't want it. I'd love to exchange it for a different thought. I'd love to have a shift. I'd love to hand it to you, and you can give me back a thought of love. So that's how I sort of talk about it in the book. But we can also say, you know, any helpful self-statement. I don't want this, you know. I don't want to believe this anymore. I'm willing to bring this to the light for healing. Any types of self-statements like that would be super helpful.
Okay. Well, it's interesting you brought up the word intuition, because when I was reading the book and you were talking about the inner therapist, I go, oh, that's your intuition talking to you. So talk to the audience about who and what the inner therapist is and how we can really tune in.
Yeah, so our inner therapist, just like you said, is our intuition. Another way of thinking about it is the part of our mind that remembers love, that remembers our eternal nature of love, and this is a part of our own mind. It's not separate from us. That's an important thing that we should all remember, is that it's nothing separate from us. It's part of our own mind. So this inner therapist is a healing part of our mind, and it's something that we can get better and better at tuning into and listening to. And so one of the things that I talk about in the book in terms of connecting with this part and tuning into this part is, first of all, recognizing that it's different than the voice of fear. So the voice of fear are all those judgmental thoughts, those worry thoughts, those anxiety thoughts, those thoughts of separation. The inner therapist gives us thoughts of love. It gives us thoughts of our innocence, our truth, and peace. And so we have to first recognize that we have these, you know, two thought systems in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, I share an example. This is actually from a podcast interview that I did with the teacher, spiritual teacher, John Mark Stroud, where he talks about how you would not go to the radio and turn on a country music station and get mad that they're not playing hip-hop. The meditation or the exercise that I share in the book is about asking your intuition or asking your inner therapist to say, please direct my attention, if we sit quietly and close our eyes, please direct my attention to the place in my body where I can most easily attune to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we can just do that a couple times and see where our awareness goes. And then when we're wanting to drop into the inner therapist or intuition, we just bring our attention to that part of our body and see what it says, see how it feels. And if there's that, in my experience, it's a resonant, sort of peaceful, almost like happily electrified feeling sometimes that I get. It's quiet, but it's distinctly different than that fear voice.
Okay. Now, say, you know, we're working with the processes. We recognize that we have anxiety, because I think that's truly a real first step, and we're working through the process. How quickly, utilizing your process, could we work through releasing anxiety if we're truly diligent and working on it every day?
That's a wonderful question. And, you know, I really don't have an answer, because it's going to depend on all of our different, you know, situations. I will share with you that in my own experience, when I really started diving deep and doing what I talked about in the book, I started noticing some big shifts within days. You know, some of it, again, the fear is in layers, so it's not like it all went away for me at once, but I really started noticing a significant difference, a long-lasting difference, I would say, within months. Now, that's already after having been working A Course in Miracles for years. So I already had a lot of experience doing this, but I took it to the next level. So it's important, I think, for us to view our anxiety always as an opportunity to grow, as an opportunity to practice the principles that I talk about in the book or that we're learning about, because the moment we get caught in time frame, we can immediately then put expectations on process and then totally lose the benefits that we're getting. The ego voice likes to tell us, you should be further along than you are, or you should be, you know, more advanced spiritually than you are. Mm-hmm. And that's not a voice that we want to pump energy into. So I think that no matter what's happening, it's always helpful to just look at anxiety arising as another layer of the onion. It's another layer that we're given the opportunity to look at with our inner therapist and heal. And the time it takes. One other example, though, I just got feedback from somebody who gave my book to a friend of a friend to give to that friend of a friend's daughter. So this isn't somebody that this person who reached out to me actually knows. But she felt prompted to give the book because she knew that this daughter suffered from terrible anxiety. Mm-hmm. And just by reading my book, she said that she got feedback from the friend of a friend that for the first time, the daughter had an anxiety-free day. Now,
wow.
I would not say she's cured. She's going to have layers that are going to come up and work, but she noticed instant resonance with the teachings in the book and the message of the book. And, you know, I'm hoping it's going to keep with the process of healing. So I think that if this is your path, you're going to know it. And if it's not for you, then you're going to know that too.
And just move on to something else that might be. Now, you were talking about the ego. So if a thought contains judgment in it, especially self-judgment, is that the ego talking to us and that's the voice that we should put aside?
Yep. That's the ego, that self-judgment. It loves telling us how lousy we can be. And all those negative, self-statements, that's the voice of the ego for sure.
Okay. Well, folks, we are speaking with Corinne Zupko. Her book is From Anxiety to Love, A Radical New Approach for Letting Go of Fear and Finding Lasting Peace. And you can check her out at her website, and that is fromanxietytolove.com. Now, in your book, you share a three-step recipe, if you will, for healing ourselves. Could you share that with us? Do you mind?
Definitely. So the three-step recipe that I break down much further, because we might go through this recipe and be like, okay, I did that, nothing happened, now what? And that's what the rest of the steps in the book are for. The three-step process, and this is from A Course in Miracles, it is, number one, find your willingness to see differently. So willingness is the precursor for change. We have to be willing and open for a new perspective in order for that new perspective to come. We have to be willing to change before the change comes. Part of our problem, I feel, collectively as human beings, is that we get stuck in our perceptions and we believe that they're right. And this is the basis of all the isms and bias. You know, we see through our own preconceived notions, and that's problematic. And so willingness to see differently is what we need to start to loosen those fixed perceptions that we have. So find your willingness to see your anxiety differently. Find your willingness to see your problem differently. When you find your willingness, when you are willing to see differently, you can, step number two, give that willingness to your inner teacher, your inner therapist, and ask for the shift or the miracle instead. You can say something like, inner therapist, here's my willingness. I'm giving it to you. I want a different experience. Please give me the miracle instead. So that's step number two, is to hand it over.
Okay.
And then step number three, this can be the hardest step, is to trust that it's done. So A Course in Miracles teaches that the answer is given the moment you ask, but many of us might still be a little too blocked to hear the answer. And so this is where trust comes in. This is where faith comes in. And this is where I'll say to myself, thank you for the answer. I'm not aware of it yet, but I'm going to trust that the moment that I am ready, it's going to be there waiting for me to receive it. And one of the little exercises that I talk about in the book that you can do to see if you're actually ready to hand something over is to write your problem down on a piece of paper and then get a box or a jar. And once you put that piece of paper in that box or that jar, you've handed it over. You can't think about it anymore. It's done. You've given it over. And if I'm radically honest, there have been many times when I've had an issue that I thought, you know what, I'm not ready to stop worrying about this now. I'm not ready to put it in the jar. I believe that my worry or my obsessing over it is actually going to work out better than giving it to spirit or giving it, you know, to my intuition or to my inner therapist. And that's kind of funny to see, and that can be looked at. You know, we can take that through that three-step process as well. But if we are ready to hand something over, you know, that little test with that piece of paper can be great to see if we're ready to trust. And if we're not, no guilt. There's nothing to feel bad about. That's just where we are. And again, we have to have that self-compassion and just we can look at, you know, our we can take our willingness to see our lack of trust. Mm-hmm. We can take that to our inner therapist then and go through those three steps.
Okay, so how do we get to the point where we are unconsciously aware that we're holding on to something? I mean, we know consciously there's something there, and we think we worked with it. The energy really hasn't shifted, and it's because unconsciously, you know, me being whatever might, you know, serve me, or at least I think it's serving me. So how do you dig deep, drill down to get to that point, to the unconscious?
I love that question because that's a very valid question because, like I said, you know, some of the fear, the guilt is unconscious. Mm-hmm. The first thing that we can keep in mind is to ask. So we can say, you know, inner therapist, what do I need to see? What do I need to look at? What is there in my... So, for instance, one of the questions that I like to ask myself, if I'm stuck with something, if I'm stuck with a, I could be harmed, you know, by something outside of me. It shows me that I actually do believe in sickness. And so those are all, you know, the next layer down of belief that then I can look at with my inner therapist. So that question, what does this situation show me about what I believe? We can then list out as many answers to that question as we could possibly think of. And it's a deep question, so it might make our heads spin a little bit, but that's where it's going, is getting to these, you know, more sub-level types of beliefs to look at.
Okay, so we could really get down to our BS and let it go.
Yes. I love that you call BS your belief system. That is brilliant.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, in your work, you do a lot of meditation. I love meditating, but, you know, there's some people who say meditation, they close their ears, they cross their legs, and then they try to bounce away in their butts because they don't want to do it or they seem it's too hard. Is there a easy way to slip into an easy meditation where you don't have to sit with your legs crossed and your hands in a mudra position?
Yes. Yes, definitely. So I like to challenge people to think about meditation as something that they can do every day throughout their day. The type of meditation that I've always been drawn to is mindfulness meditation. And what you just described with sitting down and closing your eyes, maybe crossing your legs or being in a mudra, maybe not, that's a formal practice of meditation. Mm-hmm. Informal practice of meditation means, from a mindfulness perspective, that you are just simply practicing, paying attention to doing what you're doing while you're doing it. So, for instance, if you have dishes to wash in the sink, be with that one dish at a time. Feel the dish, feel the soap, feel the warm water, smell the soapy smell. Be with that experience, and every time you notice your mind drifting, simply choose without judgment to bring it back. Our minds will always wander. That's naturally what they do. The practice is actually returning our attention over and over and over to whatever our object of focus is. It might be informally washing dishes or informally brushing our teeth, or driving is a great one. Driving is like the number one most common, when I ask folks, give me an example of where you go on automatic pilot, you know, when you're just not thinking about it, what you're doing, driving tends to be like the number one answer of just driving from point A to point B and having no recollection. So that's a little scary. If we can practice paying fully attention to that moment, not only are we going to be safer behind the wheel, but we're practicing mindfulness. We're actually practicing a form of meditation. So that's what I say for folks who feel like they can't meditate. You actually can. It's just about paying attention, and when you're ready then, try sitting for 5 minutes with your eyes closed and focusing on sound around you, just listening. And every time your mind wanders, bring it back to the sound. Then you can experiment with your breath or with feeling the feet on the floor. Anything can be used as an anchor.
Okay, so that's cool. I particularly like going around, we have a park in the neighborhood, and it's a circle, like a labyrinth, and I go and I walk around it, you know, a few times when my mind is just like, you know, running all over the place, and it's amazing when I have that intention of calming my mind, and then I go walk the circle, I'm calm, you know, it's like, voila, it works.
Yes.
Corinne, when we go to your website, fromanxietytolove.com, what are we going to find?
So you will find you'll find a bunch of written posts about A Course in Miracles and teachings of A Course in Miracles and anxiety. You will find videos that I've done talking about different course concepts and talking about anxiety. And you'll find links to my podcast also, which is on iTunes or YouTube, where it's all focused 100% on A Course in Miracles. And I do some sharing. I interview a lot of Course in Miracles authors and teachers. And, of course, you'll find information on my book. And I just came out with a meditation CD that corresponds to my book. So you can go to fromanxietytolove.com/meditation to get three of those for free if folks are interested.
Okay, cool. So fromanxietytolove.com/meditation. So thank you for that. Thank you for the gift to the listeners. Yeah, we spent a wonderful almost hour together, and I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. What is the biggest takeaway you would like for the audience to have from your book and from our conversations today?
My biggest takeaway is that I would love folks to know that there is always hope, no matter what your situation, no matter what it is you're going through. I will share with you something that my stepdad said to me when I was just knocked out with really debilitating anxiety. He looked at me and he said, Corinne, the light in you is too bright to fail. And so I say that to everybody listening now. The light in you is too bright to fail. We're going to make it. We're going to remember love. And we do this moment to moment. We're doing it together. Every effort that you make helps me. Every effort that I make helps you, because we are one. So thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. And I love the, and I'm actually writing it down, but I love the quote that your stepfather gave you, because it's truly true. Well, you know, again, people, we've been speaking with Corinne Zepko, and her book is From Anxiety to Love, A Radical New Approach for Letting Go of Fear and Finding Lasting Peace. And if you are struggling with anxiety at all, this is a book that will help you. It's not a very long book. It's full of exercises, questions that you can contemplate. So if you do the work, her process will definitely help you. And if you're having struggles, call her. She's got a contact link on her website. So give her a jingle and see how she's doing. So to Corinne and to the audience, I thank you for being with me tonight as we collectively get over it and go from anxiety to love. The divine in me honors the divine in you. When you're ready to live a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. Make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.